The text of Scripture we want to consider this evening is verse number 22 of Proverbs chapter number 5. I'd read that verse with you again. It says, "His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sin." Now, we live in a day when people, by and large, think lightly of sin. Our age is an age, really, that sins with a high hand against God. Yes, man does what is right in his own eyes, what he thinks himself to be right, with little concern or thought of God or the laws of God. Yes, there are many tonight throughout our society, and they deny the fall of man into sin through eating the forbidden fruit at the beginning of time. Indeed, there are multitudes tonight in our society, and they deny the very reality and indeed the existence of sin. There are people, yes, and they will laugh at sin. They will think lightly of it. There are those, and they say, well, it's just a little misdemeanor, that it doesn't really matter, doesn't really have any important consequences. However, the Word of God tells us and teaches us that fools make a mock at sin. In other words, God is saying that the person who denies sin and the person who makes light of sin, God says, is a fool. They're someone who are not wise in the eyes of God. The Bible tells us that God is angry with the wicked every day. And that really teaches you and I that man's sin is something that displeases God. It grieves God. Indeed, sin is something that provokes the very wrath of God itself. My, the teaching, yes, of God's Word is that sin is a reality. Yes, speaking about sin, the Word of God shows you and I that sin is an awful disease of the human heart. We hear today about people with physical diseases and their bodies, and it's right that we love them, we care for them, we seek to help them in whatever way we can. But the most awful and terrible disease of all is the disease of sin that affects the human heart, because it reaps terrible and fearful consequences in a person's life and indeed in society around that life. And you and I, we are reminded of this awful and terrible power of sin. In the words of our text tonight here in Proverbs chapter 5 and the verse number 22. And here you have God speaking through His Word about man and his sin and the awful power of sin in a person's life. And He says, "His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sin." In this chapter here before us, we see how God exhorts man to seek after the wisdom of God, and you see that in the opening verse of the chapter, where God says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding." Also in this chapter, we see how man is warned against the awful sin of immoral living. And indeed, to encourage him to forsake such a life, he is reminded in verse 21 of the chapter of the all-seeing eye of God upon his sinful lifestyle and that which concerns him. For it says in verse 21 of the chapter, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings." Yes, man may try to cover up his sin. He may try to hide his sin, as it were, brush it under the carpet. But he cannot hide it from God. God is all-seeing, God is all-knowing. And the Bible says to man in a sin, be sure your sin will find you out. And then here in verse 22, our text for this evening, here God warns man about the awful bondage of sin in his life, about the awful captivating power of sin in his life. He says to such about his sin, he says, "His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins." And friends, tonight in the little that is left in this gospel meeting, the time that is left, I want us just to consider this warning from God against the power of sin in a person's life. If you're in the meeting tonight and you're still not saved, I pray that even through this warning, you'll realize your need of Christ. That this warning, yes, will be the means of leading you to flee from your sin, to repent of your sin, to flee from the wrath to come, and to seek the Lord Jesus Christ, the only remedy, the only Savior from sin. If you remember what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ when he was born into this scene of time, the angel spake to Joseph and said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Oh, that if you're not saved tonight, that you would seek that only remedy from sin which is found in Jesus Christ and in Christ alone. As we consider then this warning about the awful power of sin, you'll notice first of all here with me that the power of sin is highlighted by its description. Look at verse 22 again. It says, "His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden," and notice it, "with the cords of his sins." Notice those final words there, the cords of his sins. That word cord there literally means a rope, or if you like, a tackling. You think of the rope and the tackling that would be used to keep a ship safely moored and an anchor in a harbor during the storm. That rope and that tackling is exceedingly strong, even to withstand the force of the waves and the wind and the storm. The picture here of this word cords really conveys to you and I something of the immense power of sin in a person's life, be that person old, be that person young. Yes, sin, yes, is a most powerful foe that controls the natural heart of man. Understand that tonight. It is a powerful foe in the heart of man. David spake himself of this powerful foe in his own life in Psalm 51 when he said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." He knew the power of that sin in his own life. He felt it. He had to deal with it and contend with it day by day here in this life. He knew that he felt the awful weight and power of sin in his life. A friend in the meeting tonight, understand this. Yes, you and I, we have inherited this powerful foe of sin. We've inherited from and through the fall of our first parents in the Garden of Eden when they yielded to Satan and they took the forbidden fruit. The Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world." And such is its power that it is something that leads you and I away from God and causes us to be estranged from God. The Bible says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." That's what sin does in our life. It takes us away from God, away from our Maker, our benefactor here in this life. In the Word of God, God speaks about his own commandments. And he says in his word that his commandments are not grievous. In other words, they're for our good. They're for our bounty. They are for our blessing. Yet despite that promise, what do? We continually reject God's law, his commandments, and indeed we break them. The Bible says sin is the transgression of the law, something we all are guilty of. The Bible says there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Despite God's law and God's word and his commandments being for our good, why we go astray, we go against them. We break the commandments of God. Such is the power of sin in our hearts and in our lives. Turn with me in your Bible over to Mark's Gospel, chapter number 7. And here you have Christ speaking about the power of sin in the human heart. And this is what he says in Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 21. He says, "For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." And by these words, yes, the Lord warns you and I of the awful potential there is for such sins in all of our lives. And indeed, that potential is all due to the awful power of sin and that sinful nature that is in our hearts and lives that we have been born into this world with when we come into the scene of time. Our text tonight says, of man and his sin, his own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sin. When you and I think of that phrase, are the cords of his sin. See here the power of sin in a person's life. Someone has once said that sin is arguably the greatest power in existence, but for the power of God himself. My, it is not only an evil, but it is an infinite evil. It is not merely against God, but it is absolutely and entirely against God. And that is what sin is. Friend, in the meeting tonight, such is the power of sin in your life that it will take you away from God. And it will take you much farther away from God than you will ever want to go in this life, in this scene of time. Oh, be under no illusion tonight about the power of sin. It's seen here in its description. But notice, secondly, here tonight, the power of sin is also seen in man's inability to break free of its control. Look again at what is said in our text. It says of man and his sin, his own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sin. It says there, his own iniquity shall take the wicked himself. Those words really show us the reality that man has no power in and of himself to break free from the awful sway and hold of sin in his life. He has no power inherent in himself to deal with sin in his life. And my, this is highlighted by the fact that all sin is addictive. In other words, the more a person indulges in sin, the greater hold, the greater grip that sin will have upon a person's life. You see that with those who take drugs and alcohol, who live immorally, who are influenced by gambling. They are addicted to these things, and it becomes tighter and tighter in their life, the grip of that sin upon their life. They have no power themselves to break free from. You think of the constricting snake, the python, when it gets its victim. It wraps itself around its prey, and that prey is totally unable to break free until the python crushes every bone in its prey and kills it. There's no power to break free. And that's how it is with man and his sin. Man is totally unable to break free himself from the controlling power of sin in his life. There are many today in our world, and maybe they're well-meaning in this, and they talk about man having a free will. A free will to choose between right and wrong. Well, you know, that is false teaching. That is not the teaching of the Bible. You see, since the fall of man, man's will is totally in bondage to sin. It is totally in bondage to Satan through the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. That freedom to choose between right and wrong was taken from him whenever Adam and Eve yielded to Satan and took the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden. Thus, within the heart of man, there's that natural bias to always move towards that which is evil and sinful and wrong in the sight of God. The Bible says the wicked go astray from the womb as soon as they be born. Those of us who are parents in the meeting, who have had children, my, we don't have to teach our children to do that which is wrong. They automatically do it. Why? Because they're born into this world with a sinful heart and a sinful nature. And that is how it is with all mankind. Turn with me in your Bible, please, over to Romans chapter number 3. Romans chapter number 3. And look here at what the Word of God says about man. This is God's verdict of us all by nature. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. Look at what the Bible says. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That is God's verdict upon all mankind.
And that is why man, and indeed this world, is getting worse and worse and worse. That is why with that awful war out in Ukraine at this present time, because of man and of sin, and the sway of sin and Satan in people's lives. And the Bible indeed teaches us that this world is going to wax worse and worse, and it's all because of man and of sin.
You think of the words of the Apostle Paul as he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. He says there, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." And when it comes to dealing with sin, man is totally weak, totally impotent, no power in himself to deal with sin in his life or deal with sin in her life. Friend, in the meeting tonight, please understand that there's no power in self, no power in reformation. There is no power in education. There is no power in political ideals or the religious rites or ceremonies of men that can break the power and indeed the stranglehold of sin in your life. It cannot be done. People may try to do this, as it were, with the best well intention that they might think of. But these things in themselves cannot deal with the awful problem of man and of sin before holy God. You know, for you and I to try and deal with the problem of sin in our lives ourselves would be like you and I, as it were, trying to stop the mighty Niagara Falls from flowing with our own hands. It would be futile. It would be totally weak and helpless. And that's how it is with you and I when it comes to dealing with our sin. Oh yes, see the power of sin. See that we cannot break free from sin ourselves. We cannot deal with it through man or anything of self or man or man's religious rites or ceremonies or organizations, no. But look again at our text. Notice something else here. The power of sin is also seen in the judgment that sin incurs or brings. You look at what follows our text. Notice what is said there in the Word of God about man and his sin, and Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 23 says, "Of man and his sin, he shall die without instruction." And those words just remind us that all sin incurs the judgment of God. You see, the Bible says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And we must understand tonight that God is holy, God is just, he is righteous. The Bible tells us he is a just God. And all sin grieves God. The prophet Habakkuk spoke to the Lord, and he says, "Thou art purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look in iniquity." And all sin provokes the wrath and the judgment of God. Make no mistake about it. You remember the words of the Apostle Paul as he writes in Romans chapter 1 and the verse number 8. He says, "Therefore the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." There we see that the wrath of God is against all sin and all unrighteousness of men. Look again at what you read there in the latter part of verse 23 of Proverbs chapter 5. It says, "Yes, he shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray." I am judging man for a sin. What does God do? God, yes, can give man up to a sin. He can give him over to a sin. That is part of the judgment of God. In other words, God can remove all restraint from him and give him over, give him up to his sin. In other words, leave that person abandoned by God to their sin. And may we read of that happening in Romans chapter 1. In verse 24 and verse 28, where Paul says, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and over," he says, "to a reprobate mind." He gave those people that Paul was talking about up and over to their sin, abandoned by God. That's part of the judgment of God upon the sinner. And friend, in the meeting tonight, be warned, if you continue to reject God and go against God and the light of God's word, the light of God's truth, then God can give you up to your sin. In other words, over to your sin, to be abandoned by God.
And my, when a person is abandoned by God, there's no hope for that person in this scene of time or in God's eternity. Yes, there's death and this judgment for sin. There's a giving up, a giving over to sin as part of God's judgment. But look again at what is said there in verse number 23. It says, he shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. That folly there speaks to us of trouble, of tears, of heartbreak, of disorder, disaster, and death that sin brings. The Bible says sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The Bible says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh, the Bible says, reap corruption. There are people tonight across our land in jail. Why are they in jail? Because of sin. Why, there's people in an early grave tonight. Why are they in an early grave? Because of sin. There's homes, families broken up. It's because of sin. There's businesses in ruin because of sin. There's people's lives in ruin. And my, their health is ruined. Why? Because of sin. The awful culprit is sin. People's sin is a terrible thing. I remember a man I used to visit with whenever we ministered in Market Hill. A man who was very gifted in life. Great talents, great abilities. Yet sin wrecked his life, ruined his home, ruined his family, ruined his business, ruined everything that concerned him. And my, he died a relatively young man, taken away from this scene of time. Such is the awful effects of sin. Sin's a terrible thing. Sin's an awful thing. Look again at what is said there in verse number 23. It says, he shall die, it says, without instruction. That speaks, yes, of man dying in a sin without the knowledge of God, without the knowledge of Christ and salvation. And such a person, when they die, they go down to a lost eternity. Their soul is separated from God forever and ever in the pit of corruption and a lost sinner's hell. Friend, tonight, understand this. This is the awful end of your sin. The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell in all nations that forget God. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And my, hell is an awful place. It's a place you do not want to go to. It's a place that you do not want to be in. For there you'll be lost for all of eternity, punished and judged for your sin. You turn in your Bible over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. There the Lord Jesus Christ gives you and I a warning about the awful reality of hell. What a place it is. It's a place of eternal torments, where torment and pain never ends. What a contrast there is between hell and heaven. There's no pain for the believer in heaven, but there's everlasting pain and torment for the sinner in hell. Look at what Jesus says here about this certain rich man who died in his sin in verse 23 of Luke 16. He says, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. And the torments of hell never end. Hell is a place where there is no mercy. Heaven is a place of eternal mercy. Yes, there's mercy tonight for the sinner in the gospel here on earth, but in hell there is no mercy. Look at verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And friend, also realize this, there's no escape from hell. There's no such place as purgatory. There's no such thing as going to hell for a while and getting out of it. There's no escape, no exit. There's no getting away from hell once you're there. Look at verse 26. Look at what the Lord says and about this man in hell. It says, and besides this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, a fixed separation, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. That means there's no escape from hell. Oh, friend, tonight, see the terrible judgment that awaits you because of your sin. See the seriousness of sin. What an awful thing it is. It's powerful. We cannot deal with it ourselves. It brings terrible consequences. It reaps a terrible, awful harvest in this life and in the next. But one final thought I want to leave with you, and it is this: the power of sin is seen in the fact that it is only the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who can deliver man and who can deliver you and I from our sins. You see, the person and the work of Christ is the only remedy for man's sin. This is the wisdom of God's salvation that God is speaking about at the beginning of this chapter of Proverbs 5, verse 1, when he says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding." What does the Bible say to you and I about the Lord Jesus? It says he was manifested to take away our sins, to deal with our sins. The Bible says the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy the works of darkness. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and says, "For there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." He came to deliver you and I, deliver lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinners from our sins. You remember what John the Baptist said of Christ when he saw him in John's Gospel, chapter 1. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Yes, God in mercy has seen our sin. He's seen the awful plight and the awful ruin of our sin and the awful catastrophe of sin in our lives and in this world. But such is the love of God, such is the mercy of God, such is the grace of God, that he has not left us to our sin. He has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, the darling of his bosom, into this world. He left heaven's glory as the sinless Son of God. And he went to the cross of Calvary, and there he shed his blood and died. He willingly gave his life up unto death, even the death of the cross, that accursed death. What for? He atoned for sin. Sin that was not his own, for he did no sin. He knew no sin. The Bible says Christ died for our sins. And he shed his blood and he died. And by the shedding of his precious blood, he provided, he purchased in grace, he opened up a way for you and I to be saved from the awful ruin and penalty and plight of our sin. Yes, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That's us all, every single one of us in this meeting. But praise God, the Bible also says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Dear friend in the meeting tonight, realize this, that Christ and him alone is the remedy for sin. And my through faith in Him as Savior, you can receive God's pardon tonight. You can know the forgiveness of all of your sins. Things can be made right between you and God. You can know peace with God. You can know that deliverance from the bondage and the sway and the hold of sin in your life. You can be set free through Christ. And you can know God's presence in your life. You can have hope in death, save from the wrath to come. And you can be sure of heaven, sure of life evermore. In Revelation chapter 12, we read of those who are in heaven, those who have overcome sin and overcome Satan. This is how the Word of God describes them. It says, they overcame him, it says, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. What was their testimony? One of faith, one of trust, one of reliance upon Christ, the Lamb of God, for the taking away of their sin and to save them from their sins. They were resting, relying absolutely and entirely upon the blood of Christ to save them from their sins. Yes, we've sought the best we could to paint before you tonight, friend, the awful picture of sin, the awful dark and black picture that sin is and that it brings. But praise God, the message doesn't end there. There's light, there's hope, there's deliverance in the gospel of Christ. Thank God tonight for Christ, the Savior of sinners. The Bible says Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The hymn writer says, would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Would you o'er evil a victory won? There's wonderful power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. The Lord says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Have you come tonight burdened, concerned about your soul, about your sin? Look away from yourself. Look away from man and man's device and man's creed. Look to Christ. Look to the Son of God tonight who suffered, who bled and died upon the middle cross of Calvary. And trust Him, rely upon Him alone for salvation. The Lord will save your soul, forgive your sins, welcome you into His family. One day take you home to be with Himself in heaven forevermore. We're going to close our meeting tonight. We'll be singing together the hymn number 286. 286 in the page 292 of your hymn book. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you o'er evil a victory won? There's wonderful power in the blood. And that's the remedy tonight, friend, the blood of Christ. Seek Christ tonight. Trust Him tonight. Call upon Him. Ask Him to cleanse you from all your sin in His precious blood. He will save you. He will fit you for heaven. 286 will stand as we sing.
Father and our God, we thank thee tonight for thy presence. Bless thy word, bless thy truth to every heart and soul. We thank thee for each one in this gathering who has looked to Christ, who's relying upon Christ for salvation, for heaven and for home. But Lord, for any in the meeting tonight not saved, Lord, come here tonight with the burden of sin weighing upon them. Lord, even tonight give them grace to turn away from self and from sin and every false refuge of man. Know that tonight that they might turn to Christ and look to him whom to know is life eternal. Part us now with your fear and favor. Take us to our homes in safety. While man's voice is silent, speak on, we beseech of thee. For we do pray and do ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen and amen.